Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. You recognize him. We have Lieutenant Jeff Winninger on the show, retired LAPD commander. He's only been gone from LAPD about a year, so welcome back to the show, Jeff. I know there's going to be some announcements made, so let me get to this next part real quick. I want to announce our sponsors. Guys, please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths and expense to support the show. And you know what we do on radio and on satellite radio, it's not cheap. You know, we have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor that got us on satellite radio, Aero Precision USA, arm sponsor, Gunler.com, BlueTheGull.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And we're reaching about 1.5 million people right now on the live stream. Also, TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at Leo Roundtable. We will be doing a giveaway a little bit later today. FishOrlandoBass.com, that is a bass fishing charter in Orlando area. And when you're going to Orlando and going to Disney, leave the car engine running and leave it in gear. Drop the wife and the kids off or the grandkids and then step on the gas and head over to that fishing bass charter with FishOrlandoBass.com, or do the alligator hunting they offer as well. It's catch and release. We're not killing the cute little alligators. But also a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. Now, before we get going and anything else goes on, Lieutenant Jeff Winninger, you know, over his shoulder for people watching the video portion of a show, you see On Thin Ice. Jeff, I know that we've been waiting for today, and you're still gonna bait us with some more stuff. I know you got a bunch of stuff, you know, coming on here. So, so let us know what's going on. Give us the inside scoop. This is exclusive. If I understand correctly, Randy Sutton recently had you on his show, and he was trying to get you to release this information, and you said no. This is going to be exclusive for Leo Roundtable. I appreciate that. So the floor is yours.
You know, a man's only as good as his word, and I gave you my word, Chip. So no, so people are probably asking, so, you know, what is this book? Well, this book is my experience after 33 years in law enforcement. And what I talk about is my personal background, and I'll give you a bit of a little teaser. I was adopted, and I have a Japanese brother who was also adopted. I had a foster sister who was Black. I was raised in the 60s and 70s in Kent, Ohio, in the Midwest. And that experience kind of framed how I viewed my law enforcement experiences. As well as I was a lead hockey player, and it was the lessons that I learned in leadership throughout my hockey career that I brought into my law enforcement career. And it's with those insights and that kind of a background that I went through my experiences in 33 years. And as a result of that, I have some practical insights and what I believe are some actionable solutions to help law enforcement be successful moving forward in the 21st century. So that's what this book is really all about. And, you know, a lot of people that I've shared this book with, they're like, wow, I'm surprised you're willing to share as much as you are about your personal life. But so it gets into that, and you'll get to learn a little bit about me. But I think it's important, because what it's really all about is you got to know somebody before you can like them, and you have to like them in order to trust them. So that's what this is all about. So you'll get to know me a little bit better. I would suggest that the better you know me, the more you'll like me. And at the end of the day, you'll have an open mind to some of the suggestions that I put forward. And this book is challenging. It's an honest assessment of my experiences and what I saw in law enforcement and what I think needs to be done to improve it. So I think I welcome everybody along the ride. And as we go through the show, I'll release more and more.
So let me ask you this. If I'm stepping out of turn, let me know. You won't hurt my feelings. There's a really... the beginning of the book, it's kind of, I find a part of it just very, it just captures your attention. Once you find out that you volunteer some very sensitive information in the beginning of the book. And I guess where I'm going with this is that, would you mind if we just kind of just gave a little hint, like the first agency you worked for, you had a prior experience there as a civilian. Would it be okay if we just kind of like whet that appetite about just kind of like a glimpse of that story? So people can, when they read the book, they can be looking for that, because that is just fascinating.
Yeah, you know, I attended college on a four-aid scholarship playing ice hockey, and I went out on a Friday night with a hockey teammate of mine, and we had some beers and we closed down the bar. And when everybody was leaving, some of us funneled out into the street because the sidewalk wasn't large enough for all the students who were flowing out onto the sidewalk. And there was a car full of a number of pretty young ladies. And my buddy thought it'd be cute if he would prop himself up on the hood as they were driving by. They didn't think that was funny. So when she slammed on the brakes, my buddy fell off, and I'm dating myself a little bit, but the antenna was on the hood. He grabbed the antenna and snapped it off, and the police come down, and officer grabs my buddy, puts him in handcuffs, and throws him back of the police car. So I'm like, well, you know, I kind of got a buddy system. Got to find out where they're going to take him, how long it's going to take to process, and what the bail is going to be. So when I approached the police officer, he was very belligerent. And it wasn't long before he pointed to the sidewalk and said, if you don't get back on the sidewalk, you're going to jail as well. And I had a few beers, but I had my wits about me. So I went back up on the sidewalk, but it wasn't long until a couple officers came in regards to a request for backup. And when they arrived, the initial officer pointed directly at me. And that should have been a clue, but it wasn't. And they walked over to me, and they asked me for my identification. And before I could even get my wallet, they began to beat me. And they beat me pretty well. And I knew that I couldn't be aggressive or wanted to be perceived as aggressive. So I just kind of took a squatting fetal position. And it wasn't long before I felt the cold metal around my wrists, and I was in the back of the seat of a police car heading down to the jail. And I was ultimately booked for disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and interfering official business. And I spent the weekend in jail. And as a result of that piqued my interest in law enforcement, obviously.
This is crazy.
I'd done nothing wrong. And I refused to take any of the plea deals that they gave me. And I spent my entire summer's earnings on an attorney. And I went all the way to a jury trial. And when I showed up, they obviously didn't want to have a trial. And they offered me the opportunity, if I signed a ticket with a $60 fine, they would drop the three charges. And I said, fine. And that's how it was adjudicated. But to make it even crazier, people, I mean, you couldn't make this up. About a year and a half later, I saw that the same agency was advertising for a corrections officer to work in the very jail that I had spent the weekend in. And I kind of half-heartedly and almost as a joke, I applied. I got hired. Total exoneration of any wrongdoing. And I worked there for 2 years before I ended up heading out to Los Angeles to be with the LAPD. So that was my initial experience.
And with a sergeant, if I'm not mistaken, that had stroked you, right? Or one of the guys, yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah. One of the officers that tuned me up, so to speak, was a sergeant. And he had promoted to lieutenant, and I now worked for him. And, you know, I actually learned to like the guy. Great sense of humor. Good guy to be around.
He could swing a stick.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I'd played ice hockey for a number of years and been in plenty of, been fights on the ice. And, you know, the hit that he struck me with, that was as good as any I've ever felt in the hockey game. That's for sure.
Wow. Incredible. So this is just what the appetite guys are. Some of the stuff you can look forward to by getting this book, stuff that you would never anticipate. On Thin Ice. And so jeffwinninger.com or onthinicebook.com. And you want people to watch Thursday's show, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. This Thursday, I will have additional information I'll be giving out that'll pique your interest and will be an opportunity for everybody who's listening.
All right. I love it. So guys, pay attention now. I told you guys I was going to do this. So and I know we've got audio listeners and you know, video listeners and stuff like this, but I ordered a new pair of Gulls boots. These are waterproof. So I'll just show you one. These things are just awesome, right? I mean, I ordered these, and it took me, what, just a few days to get them in. And these things are, I can't wait to throw these on and wear these. And look at the sole. That would have kept me from blowing out my knee and getting surgery right there if I would have had these on in Georgia. So anyhow, I got the boots, and look, I would say that I paid full price, but at Gulls, they've always got sales and stuff. So they had a sale going. So I got them on sale, and I got a delivery. So guys, Gulls.com, our commercial's getting ready to come up here in about a minute and a half with Gulls, but I thought I would just do this as a lead into I order from Gulls, and I'm paying the same thing that you guys would pay. So unless you happen to win that free Gulls gift card we're giving away tomorrow. So anyhow, Gulls.com. So look, if you guys are ready, let's put the appetite for the first story here. We'll get through about as much of it as we can get through before we take our first commercial break. RVMnews.com, RedVoiceMediaNews.com, PM Bondi strengthens crime crackdown after the DC officials defy Trump's order. So There's some balking going on in D.C. Attorney General Pam Bondi issued a new directive on Friday evening requiring the Metropolitan Police Department in Washington, D.C. to cooperate fully with federal immigration authorities, which is escalating the Trump administration's federal takeover of the city. And they have been resisting Trump's effort to lay the law down. Of course, Bondi's in charge, and now they've gotten the DEA director involved as well. We're getting ready to cover all that in 1 second, but we're going to cover this story first. So, guys, stick with us. We got our first commercial break coming up. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. You know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different places, and especially when you throw the online mix into it, the choices are almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto, it's proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. So when you're thinking about buying gear, please go to our title sponsor at Gauls.com in order to make that purchase. And you know, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. And you know, that's not easy to do. So again, Gauls.com, they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show, usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. And they pretty much have everything but guns and ammo. So if you haven't checked out Gauls lately, especially if you're active law enforcement security, guys, you need to go there like yesterday, Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And of course, you know, my favorite product that they have is called the glove. And so, you know, Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for conductive destruction and de-escalation technology. Now, you've heard about the glove, but it's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, I said that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly and usually can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the glove and ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually have eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by a former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. And the story that we left off kind of whetting the appetite on was crackdown after D.C. officials defy Trump orders. And we have Attorney General Pam Bondi, yes, our very own, getting involved and, you know, DC's balking at the Trump orders. And so she's laying it down and laying it down hard. So the order compels, and her new order compels the MPD, the Metropolitan Police Department, to work fully and completely with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is something they have not been doing. In fact, they've had orders prohibiting this. And she's requiring them to work with other federal agencies, reversing the city's longstanding sanctuary policies. Ouch. There are people who do not like that. And, here's a quote from the spokesperson saying, today's order is even stronger than yesterday's order because instead of requiring DC to rescind just one MDP order, Bondi has now required full cooperation with federal immigration authorities. And that's according to Department of Justice spokesperson Chad Gilmartin. And goes on to say that we're not backing down as required by law. DC's police chief shall provide services that President Donald Trump may deem necessary or appropriate. Now, Bondi's Thursday order, it placed the, that was the day before, placed the DEA administration director, Terry Cole, in charge of the agency, and it rescinded multiple directives that had limited cooperation with ICE. And that move was immediately challenged by city leadership. Now, listen to what the city leadership is saying. Democratic DC Attorney General, so Pam Bondi's the Attorney General for the entire country, all right? And so they've got a local Attorney General in D.C., Brian Schwab, and he sends a letter to the current police chief, the one, you know, that is preventing her officers from working with ICE, Pamela Smith, urging her to ignore the U.S. Attorney General's order, Pam Bondi's order. And here's what he says. It is my opinion that the Bondi order is unlawful and that you are not legally obligated to follow it, unquote. And having been duly appointed by the mayor, he's kind of going on talking. This is another quote. Having been duly appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the council, you are the lawful appointed police chief of the District of Columbia. Therefore, members of this agency, MPD, Metropolitan Police. They must continue to follow your orders and not the orders of any official not appointed by the mayor. I hope she takes his advice and lands herself in a jail cell. I'll tell you, nothing would please me more than to get rid of some of these woke politicians that are just, you know, just seat warmers and taking up slots and not protecting the best interests of the people that live in the Washington, D.C. area. So, wow. So you've got a local AG going up against Pam Bondi. I don't know how that's going to turn out for him, but your thoughts on this, Jeff?
You know, I look at this from a few different perspectives. You know, I was part of the LAPD when we were under the federal consent decree at the DOJ after they investigated us, put us under. And granted, we hadn't been taken over, so to speak, but everything we were doing was being scrutinized extremely significantly. And we were required to do things a certain way. And that's tough. And as I've spoken about it on prior shows, it was good for the LAPD. It helped us. But I do feel for the law enforcement agency, because I'm kind of about cooperation, and there definitely needs to be some things done in DC to make some improvements. But at the same time, law enforcement, I'm not sure that the police department has gotten the credit that they deserve. You know, the reality is that in last year, 2024, they had 187 homicides, which was the lowest since 2019, when they had 166. And in this year, year to date, as of the 12th of this month, there's 100 homicides, which is 11% reduction from last year. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about they're fudging the numbers and stuff, but you can't fudge the numbers of homicides, because dead is dead. And so you can't fudge those numbers. So, you know, and then you look at robberies statistically nationwide, 10% of robberies or 10% of homicides are a result of robberies. So if your homicides are down, then your robberies from a statistical standpoint are likely down. So, you know, there are some things that they're doing well. Actually, the 5 nights prior to the Liberation Day, when the takeover occurred, the Metropolitan Police Department there in DC was working with 17 different federal agencies. And over 5 nights, they made 60 arrests, primarily for weapons and narcotics charges. So, you know, they are doing these things. They are making some improvements. But the reality is that there is something falling short in Washington, D.C. There's too much crime, specifically juvenile crime. And there's too much homelessness. I mean, this is our country's capital, and it needs to reflect that. So it's not necessarily law enforcement agencies across this country are struggling. And it's not because the agencies aren't capable relative with their leadership. It's resource driven. And then it's not only just resource driven, it's what the other branches of the judicial system are doing. Law enforcement is running circles around itself because they're making arrests, but there's these new laws that are put in place that are way too liberal and are not holding people accountable. And in DC, it's specifically juveniles. And yes, they imposed a curfew, but that curfew said if you have to be more than 8 in a group before you can take action on that curfew. It's a little ridiculous, because if you're 8, 7, 6, you could still cause all kinds of trouble and havoc. And the last time I was in DC, my brother used to live there. We were down there in the National Mall, and there was a gentleman running, and he was attacked by these juveniles on bicycles and beaten pretty badly. And it was shocking to me, even after a 33 year in law enforcement out in Los Angeles, to see something like that. And so there are things that need to be done, but I'm not sure that it all falls on the shoulders of the law enforcement agency. There needs to be cooperation across the board on all aspects.
Okay. Well, I know they haven't replaced the police chief. They just put her chain of command has changed a little bit. So, or his chain of command. So we'll see what happens. We got 10 seconds before our next commercial break. Guys, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Yes, they are back. Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Precision, they know what they're doing, but they also don't settle for anything less, because you know that option is not on the table when your life is on the line. You can visit aeroprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. I mean, they have tier 1, 2, and 3 rifles, and back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the air builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with what they call Solus Bolt Actions. And stay tuned, because right now their M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards, they hit Aero Precision USA, and that was last year. And the embodiments of duty rifle excellence are now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means a lot of you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. Go to aeroprecisionusa.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up on August the 20th, community caretaking. You can sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Bluethegold.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Weninger as well. And, you know, we've been talking about, actually, the main news, Pam Bondi, or U.S. Attorney General, has been helping Trump do his thing in the Washington, D.C. area. We've been talking about that. There's been some resistance, so we're going to continue to follow that story and see where it ends up. Any final words on that, Jeff? Are you ready to go on to our next story with a video component?
You know, I would just say that, you know, at the end of the day, you got to watch what you wish for. So these law enforcement agencies and these politicians and municipalities and even states, you know, they want to play hardball with the federal government, and that's just picking a fight with the town bully. You're going to lose. So it's all about cooperation and working with the federal government to accomplish the goals that they're legally entitled to have. And you need to be part of the problem and not, I mean, part of the solution, not the problem. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, it's some of this stuff could be avoided if people didn't draw the line in the sand and they were willing to work with the federal agencies and make some concessions and meet in the middle ground somewhere in between and make this all work for everybody. So that's what I think we're really seeing. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, we need to all work cooperatively together, because at the end of the day, you may not agree with what Trump wants to do. However, if it's not illegal, immoral, and ethical, you need to follow through and assist with it. So that's just my insight relative to what law enforcement from a local standpoint or state standpoint needs to be doing in regards to working with the federal government.
Well, thank you. And losing another sanctuary jurisdiction is not going to bother me either. So moving along, guys, our next story has got a video component. So for all of our Audible listeners listening by podcast and radio station, please stay loyal to those outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a video that you feel like you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning. Our producer will put up a copy of the live show. And in that copy that comes out at 9 on our Rumble channel Eastern time, Tuesday through Saturday, we've got embedded into it every video that we talk about as we talk about it. Pictures of the good guys and bad guys pop up as we talk about them. It's really a unique way to watch a show. So when you go to our Rumble channel, you'll see live videos, and then you'll see the professionally produced ones that come out the next morning at 9 o'clock. So it's great to have options. So on this one, Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channels, where we got this from, it's called This Is Butter, Dash and Body Cam. It shows Texas City police officer in use of force arrest during a traffic stop.
A task force?
Correct. With the Dallas County Crime Reduction. Hop in the car for me, man.
No, I'm okay. This isn't a traffic stop.
Put your hands behind your back, because I'm going to detain you, because the plate doesn't return to anything, okay?
You have no right to do anything.
Put your hands behind your back for me,
I'm okay. I have 3 kids in the car, so you're all right.
Come over here for me, man. Calm down.
No, you call the sergeant, buddy.
No, step back over here. I'm going to run.
You're not
going
to touch me.
Then just stand right here, okay? Calm down. Your plate doesn't return to anything.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, stay out of the car, bud. Stay out of the car.
Bro, don't
stay
touch
out of the car,
me.
Man.
Stay this
out
is
of
not
the
a
car.
Task force. Do step not touch me.
Here.
I'm not a part of a traffic
step
stop.
Step up over here, okay?
No, I will
step
not.
Step up over here.
Call your sergeant, and you just touched
step
me, so you're violating my rights.
Step up over here. Don't make this a big deal. Come here, please. Stop. Step up here. Don't clench your fence. Just step
officer,
up in front of the car. 4220, send me a back to the Ulta and Kima, whoever's closest.
Yeah.
Step up here in front of my car, okay?
I'm all right.
Step up in front of my car, okay? Where did you get the plates?
What do you mean?
The license plate.
It's an Amazon plate. I had a car show because I rebuilt cars.
Okay, step up in front of the car for me, okay?
So I'm okay.
Step up in front of the car while I investigate to make sure the car is not stolen, okay?
You can do your research.
Step up in front of the car, okay?
One, this
Please
is not
step
a
up in front of the car.
Stop, so you have nothing.
Step up in front of the car. I'm not trying to escalate, dude. Step up in front of the car.
Yeah, I know you're not trying to escalate, but I'm telling you I know
step
my rights. I just did 4 years in prison. You ain't got no right to tell me shit.
Man, stay out of the car for just a second.
You don't have any right to tell me anything. You
step up in front of
my vehicle.
Step up in front of the car. Stop.
You
Now here. Put your hands down, dude.
Bro, what are you talking about?
Get down on the ground, man. Get down on the fucking ground. Oh.
What are you doing?
Back up, man. Back up.
I'm fighting.
That's a bad
Back up, man. Put your fucking hands behind your back, dog. Do it now. Do it now.
I can't do shit what you call me, bro. Get off of me, bro.
Man, get on your belly,
you,
buddy. Get on your fucking belly.
I'll sue you.
Get on your belly.
You just need me?
Send me a unit code.
I can't get on my
Get on your fucking belly, dude, now.
How the fuck am I going to do that, you dumb bitch?
I'm going to let my dog bite you, dude. You understand?
Get over.
I'm going to let my dog bite you.
I'm not resisting
I'm going to let my dog bite you. You punched me, dumbass.
You tackled me for no reason.
Get on your fucking face, dude.
Get your hand off me, bro.
Get your hand behind your back.
Bro, get off me, bro. I'm suing you.
Bro, stop. Stay down on the fucking ground.
I have not resisted arrest, and you are illegally.
Stay down on the ground.
You are illegally detained.
Give me your hand now.
I'm not resisting arrest. You are.
Give me your fucking hand.
Bro, you are illegally.
Now, this is Texas City Police, and it says that Officer P. Beller was working with the Galveston County Sheriff's Office task force outside a Yulta store in Kamaw. I'm not even sure what a Yulta store is because, you know, here in Tampa, we don't have those things. But anyhow, witnesses say that they never saw this bad guy hit the officer. In official records, it says they differ on where and when the alleged assault happened. But Weston Mabee, he's our bad guy, and he's a bona fide bad guy, by the way, contacted about 3 p.m. Monday, August the 11th, outside this Ulta store in a Kamaw by Officer P. Meller. Of course, he works for the Texas Police Department, Texas City Police, and he is deputized by the Galveston County Crime Reduction Unit. So he's working with that task force. And Officer Beller reported that our bad guy, Mabee, refused all lawful commands and made repeated attempts to get back into his vehicle. And just to set the stage, it was in a shopping center parking lot, and it was stopped. And the guy from the get-go, when the officer does a U-turn and pulls in behind the car, this guy is uncooperative and badgering the officer from the get-go. So the bad guy admits that he purchased the license plate online when the officer escorts our bad guy to the front of patrol car to complete the investigation. It says the bad guy began physically resisting and that he struck the officer in the face with a closed fist. Now, it goes on to say that the bad guy's partner, a female, Felicia Albert, says that the bad guy and the three children that are shopping for school supplies. And of course, they always try to make this sound like, you know, in the benefit of the bad guy. And that the cop pulls up behind the parked car. She says that he calls, you know, her partner, boyfriend over without explaining why, which is the lie. If you watch the video, the officer told him the tag did not come back as a good tag. She says that the officer eventually physically pulls him towards his vehicle. And she said that when the officer said, "Hey, what's up with the license plate?" She went to pull the documentation out of the car. Anyway, it gets kind of like off the story topic here. There's a lot of stuff going down, but there's a citizen that even watches the encounter and says that she never saw the bad guy hit the officer. And the citizen says he was just beating that young kid for no reason. And this is why, you know, words matter. And when people just don't, you know, you got to understand that if you just don't see everything, you just don't see everything. So sometimes, in my opinion, I'm sorry, it's going to not sound good, but sometimes you just keep your mouth shut instead of making a stupid statement like he's beating the young kid for no reason, when we factually know that that's absolutely not true. That is a false statement. And if you don't see, obviously the citizen didn't see, you can't state factually that that happened, because we know for a fact, judging by video evidence, that it did not. In the charging document, the officer told the investigator that he observed a Chrysler with a fictitious plate in this parking lot, attempted to detain the bad guy, who resisted to continue to try to enter the car, which he did. He kept opening up the back door, trying to get stuff out of it. The officer was trying to keep him from doing that. bad guy said, hey, don't touch me. You don't have the right to stop me. And, you know, this is not a traffic stop, and going on and on. And if you're watching the video, you finally see the female that's on the passenger side of the car. You see her head pop up. She's opened up the door. And while this cop is interacting with the bad guy, she walks around, pops the trunk. I'm getting a little concerned. She starts accessing a big black duffel bag. I'm sure you noticed, Jeff. And then she starts going, you know, she starts pulling it out. And I'm thinking, crap, what is she going to pull out of that while the officer's distracted? I think the officer was aware of what was going on, and he escalated it by taking this bad guy to the ground, which I wish he would have done a lot sooner. And then if you watch on the video, it's got a split cam. It's like a picture in a picture. So the biggest video is the dash cam on the car. But if you watch the body cam, you clearly see as soon as this officer takes this bad guy down on the ground with the arm bar, the guy gives a right cross, nails the cop right in the freaking chin, and game on, fights on. The officer conventionally strikes the bad guy, completely justified. It never looks good, but these people that say they didn't see it, guess what? It happened. And then they use a device called the wrap in order to restrain this bad guy. So I kind of incorporated what I put in my notes and what I remembered seeing in this. Jeff, we got a little over 3 minutes. I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah, this was a really tough situation for the police officer because from initial contact, this guy was belligerent. And it was pretty obvious the direction that this was going to go. And if the officer continued to pursue the direction he was going with, that this was going to escalate. And, you know, I've always said in law enforcement, even when I was a police officer, I said, it's about working smarter, not harder. So, you know, I got to be honest with you. I perhaps would have let him, he and his wife or his girlfriend, taking the kids, gone into the store, and I would have impounded that car. When they came out, their car would have been gone, and I would have been sitting there offering them for me to call them a taxi. And you accomplish the exact same thing by avoiding all this nonsense, because the reality was that you know, if that woman had an intention on causing this officer harm, it could have gotten really, really ugly. And it's very difficult to control two people when they're outside of the vehicle, even though by law you have the legal right to detain the passenger as well. The reality is it's very tough when you're an officer by yourself, especially in you know, more rural areas. You need to, you know, keep your head on a swivel. You don't have the benefit of responding units being there within a minute or two necessarily. And think of different ways that you can accomplish the same goal. And, you know, really that would have been a huge win for the law enforcement officer, you know, having that thing up on a tow truck when they come out and you're pulling that thing away. So, you know, you probably could accomplish the exact same thing and avoided all this nonsense. But at the end of the day, the officer, what other option did he really have? You know, but he had the legal right to pursue it in the direction that he decided to, and to handle it with the individual as he had him legally detained, as well as the female that was in the vehicle. And I would have taken it that direction. And, you know, unfortunately, this guy did fight him. The one thing we want to make sure we're doing, if we're on top of somebody and they're laying on their back and we're trying to obtain compliance and we're involved in a fight with them, we don't want to be telling them to put their hands behind their back because we're asking them to do something they're not physically capable of doing.
Yeah, so, I call that, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, I was really impressed with the officer, how well he kept his composure after the physical altercation. He had a lot of people chipping at him, not only the guy that he had the interaction with, the physical altercation with, but also the girlfriend or wife, but then those civilians that were around that weren't happy with what they saw. And you know, sometimes police work is ugly, and people aren't going to understand or perceive it favorably for the law enforcement officers. But I was pretty impressed with how he kept his head about him.
Yeah, super, super nice guy, the cop. And if you're going to fault him, you can fault him for being too nice. But another great video. Hey, it's time for our next commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source way back since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency and you're a chief or a sheriff. You can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. Congratulations to Colleen Jones for winning the free gift card giveaway by Two Bells. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. You know, we do giveaways during the live show and during the stream. You know, it's really, if you're listening radio or podcast, you know, it's kind of impossible for you guys to type in while you're listening on radio or podcast. But on the streaming version of it, we do some live giveaways. And we're going to be expanding that to where we'll let you enter contests via email. So be watching for that announcement coming up to where you don't have to watch the live show in order to win some stuff. So we're going to be coming up with that option as well. And so stay tuned for that. But we are back at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, your host, joined by former LAPD commander, Lieutenant Jeff Weninger. We just got done talking about a story that had a video component. And I think that we're going to cover, we have two LAPD stories smack to back. Are you up to do the LAPD stuff, Jeff? Is that going to bring back some?
You bet.
All right. You're not going to. Okay. I don't want you to have any PTSD on any of this stuff. So let's do which one I want to do first. I'll tell you what, we'll do the cop and the conspirators, former Florida. Well, that's sentence for illegal. Yeah, no, that's the wrong. That's the wrong story. I apologize. I got the wrong one up. So I will jump to the correct video. We've got rumble.com. This is better. LAPD releases footage of an officer shooting at 40 millimeter less lethal that hit a protester in the face. Now, look, you may, I don't know if you feel differently. I don't have a lot of sympathy for protesters because they're pushing the legal limits of the law anyhow. And these guys are non-compliant with law enforcement. So in this particular story, Los Angeles, California, this happened on July the 7th of 2025. And I find that date, I kind of challenged the date because the dude that launched the less lethal looks a lot like our panelist, Jeff, you know, a Weninger, but I'll let the date slide for now. We're just going to say July 7th, 2025, and not like a year and a half ago.
Following the law enforcement related injury incident, Corrales finally disengaged and moved off to the side away from the path of the officers as they continued to move the unruly crowd west on Temple Street. At the time of the incident, Corrales was not detained or identified as an individual struck by a foam projectile round. As such, he was not offered medical treatment. Corrales eventually self-transported to a local hospital to be treated for an injury he sustained to his face. While there, medical staff determined that Corrales would need to be admitted to the hospital for further treatment. On July 7th, 2025, nearly a month after the incident, the department was notified of the injury sustained by Corrales.
But LAPD receives information related to a civil unrest incident in central area, and they got a 49-year-old bad guy, Moses Corrales. He ends up being struck in the face, though, with a 40-millimeter less lethal projectile. And I'm trying not to smile when I'm telling the story, but it was discharged by Central Patrol Division uniformed officer. And during the incident, June 8th, 2025, 5:10 p.m., and our bad guy sustained a fracture to his jaw and was treated at local hospital, but from this 40-millimeter less lethal projectile. Just a reminder that, you know, they're less lethal, but they don't say that they're non-lethal, and that's for a reason. They can do some serious damage, as evidence. There were pictures along with the article of the still shots in the video of the bad guy that was really severely messed up. Jeff Weninger, and go and unmute your mic so we don't have any downtime on the radio portion. Jeff, but go ahead.
Yeah, so let me give the listeners a little bit of context here. So after the George Floyd demonstrations back in 2020, there was an assembly bill. It's Assembly Bill 48 in California, which passed and became law. And basically what it essentially did was prohibit law enforcement from utilizing less than lethal munitions, which would be these 40 caliber foam rounds, as well as stinger rounds or the bean bags, those sorts of things that are used to control demonstrations when they become riotous. So law enforcement's prohibited from doing that, except for two circumstances. And the first one is to defend yourself or somebody from serious bodily injury or death, which essentially is the same level as lethal force, or to effectively control an otherwise violent situation. And there, everything else that you've attempted is either impractical or hasn't worked. So those are only the two circumstances that you can use these. So the bottom line is that law enforcement in California kind of has its hands tied. And I don't agree with that law. Law enforcement needs to have the ability to use these tools to help control and disperse crowds. But unfortunately, through the law, they've lost that ability. And in this circumstance, the one thing that just concerns me is they have video of it occurring. You see him being struck in the face and all those sorts of things, but he was never charged. And So, and because if you have somebody that, say, that's throwing a bottle or, you know, a water bottle that's been frozen or those sorts of things at police officers, then you can have target specific use of these less lethal munitions to address that person. And the problem is they don't have evidence to establish probable cause that this guy had committed that sort of a crime, but he also was struck by one of these munitions. So therein lies a problem. And I think these riots that we had back in June, as well as these that we've had in July, you know, the LAPD is probably going to be paying out quite a bit of money in civil lawsuits as a result of this Assembly Bill 48 becoming law, where they will have violated aspects of that, because there's requirements of the law enforcement agency to make sure that everybody's trained in the use of those, or else you can't deploy them. And they also have to come up with a report within 60 days, basically articulating the justification for the use of the less lethal. So it's tough.
All right, next one. We got less than 4 minutes. LAPD officer shoots and wounds suspect who was shooting off a firearm in the street. So South LA, it says they're investigating an officer involved shooting that took place. It was late on Saturday night in a South LA after officers observed a man. He's walking in the street. He's got a handgun and allegedly opened fires. The preliminary statement released by LAPD said that the shooting happened about 10:50 in the evening on June the 28th in the Newton Division. And this is the officers with the Newton Gang Enforcement Detail encountered this guy, later identified as 35-year-old Ishmael Hernandez. He's walking down the roadway, armed with a handgun. When the officers approach in their vehicle, our bad guy raises the firearm and discharges two rounds. And in response, officers open fire. He ends up being struck by gunfire, falls to the ground. And he says he's in stable condition. Investigators say the shooting followed a report of a physical altercation involving this same bad guy and another individual that happened earlier in the evening. The victim in that confrontation told authorities that he had threatened them and fired a handgun in his presence prior to the cops getting there. The victim sustained a minor injury, was treated at the scene by paramedics, and they got a 38 caliber revolver off the bad guy. And took that in the evidence and everything. So, and they also said that there were five spent rounds in the gun. All right, Jeff Weininger.
Yeah, really. I mean, these officers, they didn't have much of an option. When they saw the guy, you have to confront him. If you don't confront him and you delay that confrontation, that potentially could escalate, you're running the risk of a citizen potentially being injured. And from a tactical perspective, it wasn't the best deployment from the law enforcement officers. But, you know, they were prepared to respond with lethal force when it was justified. And that's what actually occurred in this instance. And, you know, other than waiting for the airship to get overhead and direct them in a little later, they did what they had to do.
You know, it's kind of weird on this one. I know the bad guy, the cops are in the car. They get there. He fires a couple shots and then he like turns around and faces away from them. But it's still like he's not a threat, because, you know, they have an incredible slow motion freeze frame with zoom, which I love. You know, we have the benefit of all this stuff. You know, the guys that are there on the scene, you know, they don't have the benefit of this, but as cops, we have a way to slow things down. But the guy is still a threat. He's got a firearm. He can run away and pose a threat to the public, or he can simply look. We've had a couple Tampa cops killed by a guy just like shooting over his shoulder at cops too. So, you know, he's still not following commands. He's still in possession of a lethal firearm, and whatever action he takes cannot be met equally by reactionary by reaction from the police officers. It's simply too slow. He can get off 1, 2, 3 rounds before they can even get off one. And that's assuming that they have time for site acquisition as well.
Absolutely. You bet.
So a lot of people watching the video may not realize that. I'm just like the guy in Atlanta, Georgia, that stole an officer's taser, is running away. And he's got the taser pointed back at the officers, but he's running in the opposite direction, and they don't have much choice, but they're going to shoot him in the back or the back of the head, or, you know, but it's completely justified shoot. So a lot of people don't get that, but there are so many legal justifications for shooting someone when their back is to you, that people that are just not in the game may not necessarily understand. But once it's explained plausibly to a reasonable person, they usually get it, I find out. So,
right. Definitely justified in this case.
Look, another great show, Lieutenant Jeff Weininger. And as we wind it down, Jeff, can you just remind our listeners again what they have to look forward to on Thursday and why they should log into Thursday's show?
Well, you know, listen, we'll start with letting everybody know when the release date is. It's going to be Tuesday, September 16th. The book is coming out in hardback, paperback, as well as Kindle, and it will be followed by an audiobook. And you can be able to find it on Amazon, or it's being carried by Ingram Sparks, who prints and distributes the books to a bookstore near you. So that is the day that you need to focus on. Go to onthinicebook.com, put in your email address to sign up for that and to get additional information. And, you know, I look forward to the opportunity of sharing my story with you.
All right. I love it. Excellent. Thanks so much, Jeff. And also, guys, Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells and Fish, OrlandoBass.com. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.